Great news. Would you all stand with me as we read scripture this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until after they gave birth to the son, and he gave him the name Jesus." Father in heaven, we come here this morning in the name of your son. We've left our homes to come to this house this morning to worship you, Lord, in spirit and to worship you in truth. Lord, we come here, Lord, to seek and understand more deeply the mysteries of your son and the mysteries of what he has done in our lives. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us this morning to understand freely the things that's been given to us in the Holy Scriptures. Touch our eyes, Lord, that we might see the things you wish to show us. And touch our ears, God, we could hear what it is that you are speaking in our lives. We give you our hearts this morning. We come as disciples. We want to learn. Teach us your ways, O Lord, and lead us in your truth. For you indeed are the God of our salvation. We love you, God, and we thank you for your son, Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen. You all may be seated. And as you do, welcome to the third Sunday of December and the fourth Sunday of Advent. And Christmas is just around the corner. Are you ready? How many of you in here still have presents to buy? How many of you are done? Wow. Congratulations. Well, it's a crazy time of the year. Am I right or am I right? And imagine in the midst of this crazy season throwing a wedding on top of it. My wife and I, 25 years ago on Tuesday, got married. And so, yeah, it was pretty awesome. It was pretty cool to just reflect back on 25 years. And you know what? We still like each other. Isn't that awesome? We had a December wedding. By the way, congratulations to the Crumlin family. Jamie, where are you? Jamie Crumlin, where are you? Can you guys all say hi to Jamie? Look real closely on her left finger because something happened on her left hand last night. She got engaged. Yes. Congratulations to the Crumlin family. So we have another wedding coming up sometime next year, and that's pretty cool. Now, on top of all that, last night I had the privilege of being with the Clark family. Their youngest daughter, Chelsea, got married to a wonderful man named Trevor. And so Mark and Renee Clark, congratulations on your daughter's wedding. It was actually pretty, it was a fun wedding. And actually, if you know me, I like weddings, but I like healthy marriages more. And I won't do a wedding if I don't do the premarital counseling. And so when Chelsea and Trevor came and asked me to do their wedding, I said, yep, as long as we do the premarital. And so we went through 8 sessions of premarital, and I just loved getting to see them and their journey and what they're about. It was kind of cool. Chelsea went up to Westmont College her freshman year, and her Trevor noticed her immediately and was just drawn to her and taken by her. And then he was totally heartbroken to find out that she had her boyfriend from high school. And but they became friends. They were, you know, hanging out and so forth. And her senior year, she's in Spain doing an overseas, you know, abroad as a student. And he finds on her Facebook page she's single. And he's like, yes, I finally have hope, you know. And then they came back, and she came back, and he was hot on her trail. And she told him at one point that he had no chance. Isn't that sad? But he kept going. He reminds me of me a little bit, babe. And by golly, it was so great to stand with them before the Lord last night. And they became husband and wife. But they're not here today. I can't believe it. What's up with that? It was fun listening to them and their stories and hearing about. And I asked them sometime in the midst of the premarital, I said, so what were you guys looking for in a spouse? And it was fun to hear Chelsea say, well, I know that, you know, this is what I was looking for. And Trevor said, well, this is what I was looking for. And so how does that match? And to watch the journey, how many of you ever went through that exercise before you were married, where you made a list? What were you looking for in a spouse? How many of you actually did that? Did you do that? We did. I did that. I did. How many of you are now doing that? Maybe you're in the process of possibly pondering the idea, and you might be looking for, what is in your top 10? I'm just kind of curious. What's in your top 10, and what would you be looking for in a spouse? What would it be? What? Say that again. Has to love the Lord. That's a biggie, right? Give me another one. What would be in your top 10? Yeah.
Financial stability.
Wow, that's okay. That's good. Give me some more. What would be like in your top 10? Yeah.
Not just love the Lord, but it's committed to the Lord.
Not just knows the Lord or loves the Lord, but committed to follow. I always say find a disciple, right? As a youth pastor all these years, Pastor Frank, I found somebody. Oh, and I'm like, well, tell me. Well, they go to church. I go, well, are they a disciple? Do they love Jesus? Are they committed to following Jesus? Big difference between someone that goes to church and someone who's committed to following Christ. Big difference. Right on. Top 10. What's in your top 10? Yeah.
Have a great future,
mother-in-law. There you go. I love it. That's great. What's in your list? What's in your list? Any more? What?
Adventurous.
Someone to journey through life together with. What was yours?
Faithfulness.
What? Faithfulness. Big one. Good one.
Wants children.
Kind of big, huh? Wouldn't it be a bummer to get married and all of a sudden realize your spouse says, oh, I never wanted children, right? Be a bummer. That'd be a bummer. What?
Best friend.
Best friend. So, absolutely.
Makes
you laugh. Has a good sense of humor. Yeah.
That she'd be beautiful
and plays the violin. Was that a biggie? And plays the violin. Chip here is a wise man marrying Stephanie, I'll tell you. Yes.
Committed
to reading and studying the word together. Those are good. Did anyone put down Mexican food? Do you know that was my wife's? One of those in the top 10 was that she prayed that God would find her somebody that had all these things but loved Mexican food too, because that was a biggie. Do you know, here's the fun thing this morning is, as we look at the first Christmas, and that's what we're going to do today. 2,000 years ago, in the town of Nazareth, there was a man that went exactly through the same exercise that we did here today. His name was Joseph. He was a carpenter. And Joseph was a single man, and he was looking for a wife to settle down with, to have a family with. And Joseph in that town went through the list, right? He checked out all the single available ladies in Nazareth, was looking for a godly woman. Probably a beautiful woman, a godly woman, a woman of good character, a woman of probably a good family. And Joseph, as he was doing what you did and created his list, found Mary and proposed to Mary. Am I right? You guys with me? And it's what we're going to do this morning is I just want to take a look at the life of Joseph this morning. I call him the unsung hero of the first Christmas. Most of you have a nativity, I would assume, in your house. And in the Nativity, it has usually a standard cast of characters, right? You've got barnyard animals, and you've got shepherds, you've got maybe an angel, you've got wise men, and of course you've got Mary, and you've got the baby Jesus. And yet there's an interesting character that is a part of the Nativity. He's a hard-working, blue-collared worker guy, a carpenter from Nazareth. And his name is Joseph. And Joseph did what you and I did here this morning. He went through his checklist of what he was looking for. Top 10. And he found a young lady and said, "That's the one for me." And proposed to Mary. And I'm sure that Joseph felt that he did his homework pretty well. He had checked all the boxes and felt good about his decision. And then his fiance decides that she wants to go visit her relative, Elizabeth, in Judea. And she takes off for 3 months and comes back with a bump. 3 month bump. And how did she tell Joseph this? How did he find out? Did he just notice the bump and go, "Ho ho"? Did she cover it in the clothing that they wore back then, kind of those robes? And did she just, you know, pull them aside? How does she tell him? How does she tell him? Last week, if you were with us, we talked about the incredible faith and courage of the Mother Mary. And last week, we left her traveling back from Zechariah and Elizabeth's home in Judea. She had just seen and witnessed the birth of John the Baptist. Mary stayed there for 3 months, seeing her relative, who was elderly, have the miracle of a baby birth. Mary is traveling back after 3 months to Nazareth. And I bet she's feeling good. I bet she's saying, "I'm not crazy. What Gabriel told me is true. I went and verified it with Elizabeth showing up there and seeing my relative pregnant. And my relatives start already just prophesying over my tummy and saying the one." How did she know I was, you know, pregnant? It was just, she is coming back going, "God is real. God is in this. And this is amazing." But as she's heading back, if there was ever any anxiety in all this, it probably was when she's cruising back to Nazareth. Because as she's heading back there, she's showing, and she's probably thinking, "What will my parents say and do? Will they believe me?" She's probably thinking, "What will my small town say and do? Will they believe me?" And I bet the biggie on her mind as she's traveling 60 miles in probably some kind of a cart from Judea back to Nazareth, her big one on her mind is probably this: "What will Joseph, my fiance, say and do when he finds out about this? Will he believe me? Will he leave me?" This is what's happening in Mary's mind. But I'm sure she's saying, "God's in this." Her faith was strong, but I bet there was a little anxiety. Would you have a little anxiety, right? And so she returns to Nazareth. How did she tell Joseph? The scriptures doesn't say. But it does say this. In Matthew 1, 18 and 19. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. How did he find out? Scriptures doesn't tell us. Did he see the bump and his heart dropped? Or did Mary pull him aside and say, hey, Joseph, this bump, I'm pregnant, but it's okay. It's from God. I'm still a virgin. Can you imagine the look in his eyes while she's trying to tell him this? What do you think went through his mind? In my vernacular, I would have been looking at this lady trying to, this chick's nuts. That's what I would have said. Oh, honey, I got some interesting news to tell you. Really? I'm so glad you're back and it's been 3 months and how was your trip? And oh, by the way, I'm pregnant. What? Don't worry about it. It's from God. I'm still a virgin. In the Hebrew, he said, this chick's nuts. That's true. What were his options at that moment? Joseph. What was Joseph's options at that moment? The people know they're engaged. If he stays with her, they're going to think that he did this. His character will be called into question in the community. Staying with her would be his admission of his own guilt and shame in her pregnancy. Does he leave her? And if so, how? Publicly disgrace her? Accuse her of unfaithfulness? The people might stone her. Friends, Joseph, I can just imagine him catching and hearing all this and his heart sinking. I bet he's wondering, what is happening to my life? I could almost see him up late at night, can't you? Do you think he slept well that night? Do you think he slept well? I think he laid in bed and stared up at the ceiling and was running through his mind. What is happening to me? I met Mary. All seemed to be going well. She seemed normal, mentally healthy. Godly woman, good parents. He's checking the list just as you guys did. Probably said she loved Mexican food. I don't know. You know, it's there. And I'm sure he was thinking in his mind, I did everything right. How can I be in this place? I'm sure he was looking forward to getting married as all soon-to-be husbands are. But Mary decides to go off and see her relative Elizabeth. And 3 months later, here she is, standing before him, informing him that she's pregnant. But don't worry about it, it's from God. Does he buy it? Would you? Does he buy it? And would you buy it? This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace. Okay? You catching that? Had in mind a way out. I'm going to divorce her quietly. What do these scriptures tell you about this man? If you want to take notes this morning, you can do that in your worship folder. And you can write this down. You ready? What do these scriptures right here tell us about this man? Number one, Joseph of Nazareth, Joseph the carpenter, is a godly, religious man who values his integrity. Do you get that? Joseph of Nazareth is a godly, religious man who values his integrity. You can mark that down. And you know what else we can learn from this section? He's also a man of compassion. He's a man of compassion. The law of Moses calls her an adulterer. And he could have called for her to be publicly disgraced and stoned. But even in his anger, but even in his brokenness, he didn't want that for her. And so he does what? Let's just do this behind the scenes and quietly separate. That was his only option. This is what he's thinking. What does that tell you about this man? He's a godly religious man who values his integrity. I can't go along with this for my own integrity. And yet, I'm a man of compassion. I can't disgrace her publicly. There's got to be a middle of the road. It tells us a lot about this man. He takes the high road in all this. But he can't stay with her for his own integrity. Friends, this guy Joseph, he's a good guy. He's a really good guy. And then in the midst of all of this and all of his thought processes, he finally falls asleep. And who visits him in his sleep? An angel speaks to him. Check this out. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David." Interesting how the angel would call Joseph's name and then speak of his lineage, his ancestry. You see, Joseph of Nazareth was really from Bethlehem, is where his ancestry is. And he's of the line of King David. And in the dream, the angel appears to him and says, "Joseph, son of David." Joseph is a descendant, friends, of King David. And the angel's already alerting him to the significance he is to play in the birth of this child as the mystery of the Messiah is being explained, as the mystery of the incarnation is coming to pass. The angel already is throwing out hints in the dream. It's interesting. He says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." It's interesting, when you read Luke's account, Mary was told by the angel to name him Jesus, but Joseph is told both his name and the reason for his name. You mean, friends, the name Jesus means Yahweh, God is salvation, or God saves. That's the Hebrew. Jesus, the name Jesus means God is salvation or God saves. So the angel tells Joseph, name him this because he's doing this. Mary didn't get that. He was just told this is his name. The child will save his people from their sins. Joseph is given the name of the child and the mission of the child. It says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Since the child is from the Spirit of God, he is the Son of God. Emmanuel. The angel gives Joseph a Bible study lesson in Isaiah chapter 7 that we read here today. This is the prophesied one. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus, right? I can see Joseph waking up and coming to Mary and saying, "Guess what? I believe you." I bet the water filled her eyes. "I believe you. Guess what? I had a dream last night. An angel came to me in the dream. Said to name him Jesus. Guess what? He told me the mission of this child. And Mary went, really? What is it? This child that's in you, that bump, is to save his people from their sins. And then I bet they went, I wonder how he's going to do that. I bet speculation. He says, babe, we're getting married right now. Joseph, we're getting married right now. What does this tell you about Joseph? He is a godly man, religious man, who values his integrity highly. He's a man of compassion, obviously. And he's also a man of obedience and faith in God. I mean, he's quick. As soon as he hears it, as soon as he's in, he's ready to roll. And you know what else? Just FYI. He's a man of self-discipline. He marries his wife, but he doesn't go on the honeymoon. You understand what I'm saying? Do y'all get that? He marries his wife, but he doesn't go on the honeymoon. Ladies, are you looking for a man that has some self-discipline? Is that an important quality? Absolutely. Absolutely. These are actually pretty good qualities, ladies, to be looking for in a guy. Once he knows that God is in this, he's all in, friends. He's all in. He takes Mary to be his wife. He absorbs the looks and the gossip of the people in the village of Nazareth. He takes it in stride. He's a good man. He's the unsung hero of the first Christmas, in my opinion. At the birth of Jesus, I mean, you know the story. All of a sudden, the census comes, and they're like, praise God for the census. We're out of here, right? And they head to Bethlehem because the prophecy says the Messiah will not be born in Nazareth. He'll be born in Bethlehem. Sure enough, enter Caesar Augustus. He wants to get a number of all the people in his empire. And because of his edict, Joseph has to travel with a pregnant Mary to Bethlehem, and I bet he was glad. See you guys later, right? He takes care of her, watches over her, and friends, she's close to birth, and he is, I'm sure, fighting to get her there in time, to get a good place for her, to take care of her, right? And you know the story. And it just makes me wonder, friends, I've been thinking about Joseph all this week. When that baby came out and he picked up this child in his arms, what was going through his mind? Does he call him Junior? Or does he call him Father? Does he call him Son? Does he call this child God? My Savior? Can you imagine, like, holding the miracle? I mean, what did Mary do after Mary gives birth to this little baby? Does she feed him? Or does she praise him? She does both because he's hungry and he's holy. This is miraculous. As Joseph has got this baby, Mary has this baby, this miraculous baby. Boy, talk about the ride of his life, huh? Joseph had no idea what he was signing up for when he proposed to Mary. Am I right or am I right? When you read the Christmas story, you notice how Joseph was okay with others coming to see the baby. And picture this, right? The baby's born. Hey, ladies, do you want strangers in your delivery room? Anyone? Anyone? Whose job would it be to protect your delivery room from strangers coming in? That'd be the husband's job, right? Mary gives birth to this baby, and up comes these shepherds. And what does Joseph do? Does he grab his shepherd's staff and start, get out of here, you right? He welcomes them in. That tells us something about this man. He welcomes them in. You come on in here. He realizes that this baby is for the world. Wise men come, welcome. You want to see this child? Joseph knows there's something magnanimous about this child, and he is a man of hospitality. You come into our home. He's a man of hospitality. He's a man of hospitality. He's a godly religious man who values his integrity. He's a man of compassion. He's a man of obedience, quick obedience to God. He has strong faith in God. He's a man of self-discipline, and he's a man of hospitality. He has a kind heart. And yet, friends, don't mess with him because he's a good protector. He's a very good protector of his family. If someone wants to hurt his wife or his child, he was a man of action. And a man who takes seriously the protection of his family. Right after the wise men left Joseph, he has a second dream. And this is what the dream says. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." When you read the scriptures, you'll find these words. "So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, 'Out of Egypt I called my son.'" Notice how it's his job to protect the family. God comes to him in a dream, not to Mary, but to Joseph. Because you want to know what the job description of a man is? Protect your family. Hey, ladies, find a guy that will protect your family. Don't marry a wuss. Can I say that? You want to marry a guy, if someone breaks into your bedroom middle of the night, he's not hiding behind you. That's not who you're looking for. Do I hear an amen, ladies? Is anybody looking for that in a guy? I'm just curious. Joseph takes his responsibility as the man to protect his home seriously. And then when the angel comes, he doesn't come to Mary and says, "Hey, get up." He comes to Joseph and says, "Joseph, get up and take your family. Your family's in danger." And notice Joseph doesn't just roll over and wait till morning and get his cup of Starbucks before he starts rolling a little bit. As soon as he gets this dream, he is up. "Mary, get up now. Now. Grab the baby now. The baby's sleeping. Get him up. We're out of here. Right now." Joseph is a man who takes seriously his role as a godly man in his home. And a part of that's protecting his family. And he does it. We learn a lot about him, don't we? Joseph's a very good man. A very good man. He's a godly man who values his integrity. He's a man of compassion. He walks with both. A godly man of compassion. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? He's a man of obedience to God. And he's quick to respond when God speaks to him. He's a man of self-discipline. He's a man of hospitality. And he's a man who takes seriously the protection of his family. The nativity is like a snapshot. The nativity is like a snapshot of the most incredible moment in human history in which the birth of Jesus is born. And in this snapshot, there is a standard cast of characters. There's barnyard animals. They're at your house, right? At your nativity, you have a sheep or goats, maybe a camel or two. There's shepherds. There's wise men there. There's Mary, an incredible woman of faith and courage. There's God in human flesh, the baby Jesus. And in the midst of the nativity, there's a character that has been there for the last 2,000 years. And you stare at him and you go, wow, what a journey this guy must have been on. There's someone that's in the nativity scene. He's a blue-collared worker, hard worker, creative man, works with his hands. He's a carpenter from Nazareth who all he wanted was just a normal life, just like all of us. He was a single guy that wanted to get married and raise a family, and he was just looking for a good lady. And he went through the list. Man, okay, this is important. This is a biggie. And as he's in Nazareth, he just looks for the special lady. And he goes, boy, she's cute. She loves God. How's the family? Family looks good. All right, that's good. I like her sense of humor. Okay, she's spunky. Oh, I like that. That's good, you know, right? He gets down on his knee and he is engaged to this young lady. And Joseph's probably thinking, everything's cool. I can't wait. This is looking good. And all of a sudden, God just throws a monkey wrench into his engine, man. His whole world is destroyed when she comes back. And yet, all of a sudden, it's like being caught in a tidal wave. He just gets ripped into this thing that God is doing in humanity. And all of a sudden, him being an ordinary man from Nazareth, all of a sudden he becomes an extraordinary man. As he all of a sudden becomes a key figure in what God is doing on this earth. And he is swept into all this. And you know what, guys? He does a pretty good job getting on board to what God has planned. He is the unsung hero of the first Christmas to me. He doesn't get the credit he deserves. Am I right? Do you think I'm right? When you go home today and you look at your nativity and you just kind of pick up that piece and go, Joseph, I think I know you a little bit better. Someday when we're in heaven, you'll come up to Joseph and say, man, Pastor Frank gave a great message about you long ago. I feel like I know you now, you know? As we wanted to teach on Joseph today, we found this song called Joseph's Lullaby. And it's a song that was kind of written from Joseph's perspective on that night. And I'm going to ask the worship team to come up and sing this for you. And I want you just to check this song out because it's pretty cool.